One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for tuning in. This is the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. On backup vocals, Dave Callens.
What's up?
And on soundboard, Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
This week on the show, we got our buddy and local comedian, Mr. Chris Curtis. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Hi, thanks so much.
You know, I gotta say this about Chris is I like you as a person and as a comic. That is not something that I share with a lot of people.
I rarely share. Yeah.
you know, because I'll have a, I enjoy having a beer with you after the show too. There's some people, and you guys may have like had this with yourselves as well, is that some guys are like, oh, how do you feel about Joey's comedy? Solid. Can I invite him to your barbecue? Oh, no. You didn't already tell him where I lived, did you? Because if you did, we have to have a conversation. Like, you know. And then there's the other way, which I think is worse, is where the guy's like a really nice guy, but like you just can't get it together on stage. And he's always asking, like, hey, man, do you think you can put a word in for me with so-and-so? And you have to be like, yeah. Speaking of shows, I'm doing a panel show tonight at
the
Palace.
Plugs.
Well, by the time this airs, it'll be over.
Plugs are at the end of the podcast, usually.
Maybe so. On your podcast.
I'm a little bit nervous about it because, all right, so the panel show, it's like Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. There's a bunch of comics. Okay. There's a host, and he like proposes topics like, okay, Charlie Sheen's got AIDS, Ryan. And so, you know, it's like that. And they send us the questions. And I'm going over it, and I don't typically do panel shows. I mean, this is kind of like one of those weird concept shows that we're not used to doing as stand-ups. And I'm going through it. I'm like, shit, I have like 4 days to come up with funny little jokes to each one of these. Now, I can go off on like my serious opinion on all these matters, you know, right. But it won't necessarily be funny.
Right.
They want like a punchy like...
And it will be long, too, because you're a ranty person.
Thank you.
So you need... Right. Wait, you didn't know that?
So, yeah, and so, you know, I'm getting nervous. I'm like, God, I don't think I can come up with a funny quip for all of these, especially not in 4 days. Yeah. But I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, these panel shows happen all the time. You got this. You can do it. You'll rise to the occasion. And
what were some of the topics? Do you want to talk about
it? Sure. Yeah. Some of the topic was these will all be discussed tonight.
Sure.
And by the time this airs, it'll be over. So I'm not ruining anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Charlie Sheen having HIV. Tim Tebow's.
Whoa! When did that happen?
Yeah. Tim Tebow's
10 years ago, probably.
Girlfriend, breaking up with him because they wouldn't have premarital sex. You know, things that I'm like, I don't even follow who's Tim Tebow? I didn't Google it. So
you don't know who Tim Tebow is?
Maybe not the right person to put on a panel about pop culture.
Right.
I'm like, are we going to talk about Shocker that came out in 1988 anytime soon?
Now, if you're going to talk about ranting about social things that bother you, like, I hate when people step
I'm your guy.
If you want to talk about the rare skateboard that was issued by Glenn Danzig in 1979, then yes, let's talk about it, baby.
So anyway, I'm trying to psych myself up for it, and I'm just about mentally prepared when suddenly this happens. A friend of mine, a comic out of Boston who works in TV, I was listening to his podcast, and panel shows came up. This was yesterday. And he basically said, oh, yeah, those panel shows, those are filmed for 6 hours, and they whittle it down to 30 minutes. And he's like, oh, and live ones never work. No!
Wait, so this one's live?
So this is going to be live.
Okay.
Eric Knowles.
Well, I was going to say, if it was a long one, you would be able to have your like amount of time to...
Right.
to talk about this it, and then they would like edit it and probably take out all the best parts, too, by the way.
Exactly. This is going to be an hour and a half live, not taped, so it's just going to be, you know, 12, 13 topics, and we all have to come up with some punchy, you know, quip for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you've been watching a lot of Chelsea lately.
Here's
in
the
preparation.
You're a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
On top of that, this is a new style of show for anyone to be putting on here in town.
Right.
The expectation is failure. So you really have nothing to worry about.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Dave, I like your horrible cynicism.
Yeah,
you're really pumping Ryan up.
Let's deconstruct what Dave just said. He's like, listen, Ryan, you're doing something. We're expecting you to be shitty at it. That's basically what he just said.
He's saying we're expecting you to be shitty, but we're also expecting the whole project.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so sorry.
He thinks you tanked everything so badly.
I think you'd be a fantastic father.
Listen, son. Okay. Okay, scene. Dave Callens, interior apartment. Son, okay, it's your first day of preschool. I understand you've never been to school before. You don't know what it is, but listen,
You're probably going to shit your pants.
You're going to shit your pants. And you know what? Everybody else is, too.
People are expecting you to shit your pants because you're kind of a retard. Now, get out there.
I love you, Dad. I see a lot of kids. I live with you. You're going to be the one that gets bullied. I mean, that's just how it's going to break down. You're bottom of the food chain, so just try to suck it up.
I hope you're not counting on getting laid in the next 21 years. It's just not going to happen for you.
Dude, I was actually just talking about this with Jamie Gamlin last night. I was wearing a Santa hat.
She's on the show.
I like wearing the Santa hat this time of year. I make fun of people who do it, but I do it myself.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
You look like a real douche.
Yeah, yeah. No, when I wear it, like, I know what I look like.
You look like some sort of, like, Bukowski type character that's just given up on life and said, fuck it, give me the hat.
And that's part of it. Is like, I like being my own little public service announcement for kids out in public during the day. Like, I want those kids to see me and, like, plant a little seed in their head that, like, their dreams are going to die. They see me, and it just registers in my mind, like, that's Santa? And then they go on about their day, but it just sits there and stews in the back of their head and sort of gives them that downward slope of expectation.
Chris, yeah. I want to ask you an off-topic question right now.
Yes.
For those of you that have never seen Chris Curtis, he does bear a striking resemblance to actor Jason Bateman.
Yes.
Now, does that
this get... is I don't normally like confirming...
sure.
When people like likenesses,
yeah.
Like, you know, because whenever somebody goes like, "You look like that," and you got to be, well, I guess, but yeah. Like this has happened.
Or I get that a lot.
This has happened literally. I would argue once a week. So
sure.
52 times a year, people go, "You look like Jason," but they always fuck up the name.
Yeah, Patrick like, Bateman.
Yeah,
from American Psycho. Like, oh,
that
you look
be
like
better.
Jason Statham, right?
Yeah, no.
Just seen
But well, no, I do get it. Yes, I get it.
Now,
all the time.
Does that ever like you know? Does it ever get on your nerves? Because I know that. So we've worked a lot together. People bring you up on stage to it, and I know what I get a lot is the Batman voice joke. You know, this guy says he sounds like Christian Bale doing Batman. Like you know, obviously you have to at some point, like you say, yes. Yeah, so if it's said to me all the time, I get it. Just like people saying I look like Wayne Rooney from Manchester United. So anyway.
That's a sports team?
What the fuck are you talking about?
You don't know Tim Tebow and you have an obscure soccer reference?
Right. Well, because I look like him, apparently.
A London-based, whatever.
Actually, I think you just made that name up.
No, the way I felt, I didn't know who he was.
Wayne Rooney?
Until
that's a made-up name.
A kid asked me for an autograph, and I thought it was for comedy. I was like, psych, that never happens. And then I was like, here you go. He's like, why don't you have an English accent? I'm like, that's a weird question. Why would I?
And you were like, pissed off.
We were both disappointed. Does it ever get on your nerves when people talk about it?
No, and here's why. I've actually thought about this, and this is going to sound extremely vain and narcissistic.
We'll make it sound even more so in post.
If someone says, hey, you know, you really look like John Wayne Gacy, that's something you don't want to accept. Or, hey, you really look like fucking this pug that I used to have when I was a kid. Edit that one. No. That was a bad riff. But no, like I like Jason Bateman.
Like the way he looks.
I like the way he looks. So it's like when people say you look like Jason Bateman, I'm like, cool. Maybe I can play his son in a movie someday.
When people say to me that you look like John C. Reilly, and I get pissed off because that's not a good looking guy.
Wait, no, hold on. You look like retarded John C. Reilly.
Thank you. Yeah.
And he already looks retarded.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I get upset. I'm like, dude, that's not a good looking guy. And they go, hold on. He's really funny. I'm like, you're not saying I'm as funny as him. You're saying
you're
I look like him.
Wait.
Right.
Young John C. Reilly. Like Magnolia John C. Reilly.
Magnolia sure. John C. Yeah. Reilly. Sure. I can play his son. We could do a weird, like, stepbrothers sequel. That'd be fantastic.
Did you know, though, John C. Reilly, I actually got to – I saw him at Lestat's playing music.
Yeah, he's got a band.
Yeah, he plays like folk music and at Adams Avenue Street Fair or for whatever. Sure. Yeah, no, and he like comes around and hangs out like in Normal Heights specifically.
Really?
Yeah. Him and Will Ferrell too. Like
now, since he has a band, is he
Will
douchey?
Ferrell's friends with a bar owner in that area.
Yeah, Blind Lady. Yeah.
Is he douchey about it like what's his name? Billy Bob Thornton, where it's like, I loved you in that movie. I was never in a movie. I'm about music right now. You don't talk about my movie career when I'm holding an instrument.
I think he's more real. I don't know why.
He doesn't seem like
on behalf of John C. Reilly.
Yeah. No, he seems like a really nice guy, but I really can't.
But you
stand
should get touch with his representative.
Yes, I got a look. Apparently,
you're
into
a John C. Reilly cover band
called Brow Ridge.
The John C. Ryans. I like it.
John C. No, but C, it's S-E-E. John C. Ryan.
I've noticed this, Dave. I think you and I have talked about it before, where I feel like every time I see that a musician I like is going to be in a movie, I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's going to be awesome. Slash is going to be in a movie. But, you know, the other way around, though, when I find out an actor I really like is going on the road with his band, I'm like, ah, fuck you.
Oh, this is going to be the worst thing ever. Yeah.
I'm like completely turned off by that. What, do you guys feel the same way, and why do you think that is?
Now, where do you put, like, Jared Leto in that? Like, does he count as a dual – is he a dual sport athlete at that point?
Okay, you're finding the exception to the rule, and I wish you'd stop. No, I'm talking about your Russell Crowes, your Billy Bob Thornton.
Keanu Reeves.
I'm not saying – Keanu Reeves. I'm not saying I'm a fan of
Kevin
Lindsay Lohan,
Costner.
But that's a –
Costner, yeah. That was who I was saying it, right.
Yeah, you know, and especially when they're douchey about it.
Now, these are examples of actors trying to do music.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other way around? Which ones are cool where it's like
musicians
act?
But my question, Ryan, real quick, is you said whenever you see musicians who are going to be in movies, how often does that happen, though? Like,
well,
not a
it'll
lot,
it'll happen
right?
every once in a while. Justin Timberlake comes to mind. I'm not a huge fan of his music, but, you know, when I see he's going to be in a movie, I'm like, all right. You know,
there was even like even musicians that you're not a super fan of, like a while ago, a long time ago, Harry Connick Jr. was in like, I think, like a psychological thriller.
He was in
movie.
It was called Copycat, and he was actually really good.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, I think he was really underrated in
that's
that role.
The other thing, I think that's why you and I feel that way, is because usually an actor.
Not only do I not know who Harry Connick Jr. is, I don't know.
He
the movie
plays
Copycat.
Goal for Manchester United.
No,
you actually look a lot like him.
Do I? Oh no, I get that a lot actually.
No, but it's like usually when a musician is in a movie, they're good. You know, I feel like that's...
David Bowie in Labyrinth.
Yeah. Was he in Labyrinth?
But David Bowie is also a god. Yeah. So, like, it doesn't count. He's not even a human being at this point.
Yeah.
Typical Bateman.
Yeah. That is so classic Arrested Development right there.
Dude, I watched The Prophecy Part 2 just because Danzig was in it for like a second.
Wait, was he really?
Yeah. I have this to say about that. That Prophecy 2 came out. There was an announcement that Danzig, Glenn Danzig of the Misfits, would be playing the villain. And
you came immediately.
Yeah. They made it sound like a starring role in that film. So I bought it. And I'm like, 14. So that cost my entire allowance. That's a big investment to buy a movie I've never seen. Yeah. He literally shows up, breaks through a window, gets his heart torn out, and falls down to the ground.
In the beginning of the movie.
And really? I just stared at the screen with my mouth open for the rest of that shitty, awful movie.
He doesn't have any lines?
Yeah, I think he says something
like... He doesn't even say, like, you got some fucking attitude?
No, I think he says something like, nice to see you again. And then, like, somebody tears his heart out, and that's that.
Yeah, that's it.
It would be best if he said, if he walked in and said, I got something to say, and then they just rip his heart out, and then he never says what he has to say.
And you always wonder.
No, but it was bad, because the first Prophecy was a good movie.
Yeah, it
was
bad.
And so I watched the second one based on Danzig being in it. I'm like, okay, he's barely in it, and it's garbage, so this is stupid.
Real quick, okay, we're tangent all over the place, but that's okay, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, is it true, Ryan, I'm going to ask you, I'm assuming you are the Danzig Wikipedia.
I have my moments.
In human form. Is it true that Glenn Danzig was approached by Hollywood to
for
be...
Wolverine?
Yes. Is that true? I've heard that was a... This was like... Because the first... X-Men was like 2001 or maybe even earlier. Because this was kind of like pre-internet, so I was
Glenn Danzig swears it's true, and the only reason he turned it down was it conflicted with his tour schedule, so he's confirmed it's true.
But
however, no one on the other side
is that's the only source. Yeah. Is him.
Hey, your tour schedule where you'll make $1 million versus this movie which will be a franchise where you'll make potentially $30 million?
By the way, playing
bullshit.
A character...
I'm calling bullshit.
By the way, playing a character that you've said in many interviews that is your idol that you look up to, and in many like interviews you're reading a Wolverine comic.
Yeah, and he turned... Bullshit. I don't buy this.
He says it's
true. Hey, Glenn, if you're listening...
Fuck off.
Dude, going back to the original point, Eminem is another one. Like, when he's in movies,
there you
he's pretty
go.
Good.
Yeah. he was very good. Yeah.
Or what, Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie did all of those horror movies,
as
right?
As a director, he wasn't that good.
You didn't like those? You didn't like the...
One movie liked. I liked The Devil's Rejects.
I love The Devil's Rejects.
Did you know that people call him Robert in real life?
Robert Zombie?
No, that, no, that, that's not a joke.
That's like, Mr.
Like,
Zombie.
No, I was listening to. I don't want to cross podcast reference, but I was listening to another. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast.
How dare you?
I know. And Chris Hardwick was like, no, I call him Robert. He like prefers to be called Robert.
That's kind of a humble brag.
I think it's kind of weird.
He actually prefers Rob Ghoul. These are the fans that came up with Zombie. No,
I think that's Robert Goulet you're referencing.
But yeah, so as far as actors and musicians crossing over, here's what I think. I think when you're a musician, in general, it's sort of a soul-bearing exercise. Like you're putting yourself out there, you know, depending on the type of music, but it's very real and very raw.
Yeah.
And so it's easier for you to transition over to just throw yourself into a role and be that role.
Yeah.
When you're an actor, you're always putting on a facade. And so when you try to do music, it seems fake and forced because you're trying to contrive something instead of just being yourself. That's what I think.
You know, that's funny. Wow, that was a really interesting point.
Edit that out.
Well,
even more on this.
This is a milestone. Dave Callen said something poignant.
Even
instead
more
of derisive and mean
and defeated.
Right.
Every once in a while, miserable. You know, like every once in a while, you get like a Daniel Day-Lewis who is like a serious actor.
Oh, I love his disco band. It's great.
He rocks. Every once in a while, you get one of those that's like a serious actor, but for the most part, I feel like acting is not that difficult, whereas music is a talent. Like, music is a very real talent.
Like, I've done small productions here, and it can be,
depending on what the role is, but I think a lot of people get famous acting in easy roles or acting in roles that are close enough to them that you don't need a tremendous amount of talent. Whereas, if you're a musician, you need a certain amount of talent to do something. So you're bringing an already talented individual into another medium where they can do well. I think they're more likely to do well in another one than somebody who happened to have the right look to it.
I have a bachelor's in theater performance, and when I first school,
oh, here it is.
When we first got to school, they were going
fucking Stanislavski over here.
Nice reference.
Thank you.
We were sitting around, and
here comes the Meisner technique.
The professor.
I can keep going. Sorry.
First of all, it sounds really anti-Semitic.
I'm not going to fucking finish the story. the professor went around and was asking everyone, now why did you choose theater? And everyone was trying to give like their, because I could feel like I could express myself and bare my soul. They got me. I was like, because it seemed like the easiest major. And everyone just fell silent.
No, they fell silent because they tacitly agreed.
Yes.
With
yeah.
you.
Yes.
They knew that was true.
And, and I'd been in plays before in high school, but really that's why I chose it. I'm like, I am going to slack off for 4 years.
Right.
And so people were furious with me too. They were furious and they're like, this is an art. It is not easy. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm 18 and have real strong opinions.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know what you're fucking talking about.
Precisely. And so by junior year, and that stuck with those people in the theater department for my entire 4 years there. Mm-hmm. And junior year, people were still coming to me, well, you've been here for 3 years. You still think it's easy? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
It's even easier than I thought.
Right now.
Do you know what happened when I did for lighting design to turn in my final project? I just drew random lines on the paper, and I turned it in and got a B. Right. So fucking, yes.
Yeah, by year four, people are walking up still trying to like make fun of me, like, oh, he's still think it's easy, and he just stands there, one little teardrop forms in his eye, rolls down his cheek, and then he says, scene, and he walks away.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can do it right now.
Here's where the pratfalls and problems of theater people is that when you are dismissive and derisive of your own thing, ironically, that probably makes you like a better actor. They're like, oh, he's brooding.
Yeah.
Oh, he's really deep. Yeah. He actually doesn't even like what he's doing. That's where he conjures up. It's like, yeah, theater and even English is just, I mean, I was an English major. I have a fucking master's in English. Like
Here we go.
I'm going to talk about Marx, guys.
I'm going to interrupt you for you try to tell a story.
Sorry. I did do that. I know.
No, but maybe you're right. It makes you maybe more objective when you don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a big part of it. I think everyone that I ever came
across. I think it makes
you
a better comic, too. Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. It does. I also think it's funny that everybody was sitting around, they're like, he must be a method actor who thinks acting is easy. He's playing a role.
Yeah.
But
he's so
I'm
method.
I'm in character right now.
Yeah. And listen, I understand. It can be hard. I can't act. I'm not an actor or anything like that. But here would be my example. give somebody a random script for a play that has three or four lines and say, here you go, you have 5 minutes, you're about to go out on stage and do this. What is their percentage of getting that right? Versus handing somebody a guitar and saying, you're going to pay five minutes of this song.
Here's the thing. I understand you're on my side as far as like what makes them good and bad.
I understand you're trying to help, but shut up.
But I'm going to chop you down.
I forgot what the original point was. But
the point is, I think it takes more talent to be a musician.
Yes.
You can hand that person a script, 5 minutes, whatever. They could get all the lines right.
Right.
But they still act like shit.
No, some of them will be just
it's
fine.
It's very hard to act like you're not acting.
For some people. And some people can just walk on stage and do it. But nobody's going to walk on stage having never picked up a guitar and play sheet music perfectly.
Challenge
that
accepted.
Takes a talent.
Let's go.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I mean, Robert, like, you're right. There is a baseline level of technical ability, technical skill that you need to have as a musician. And with regard to actors who know how to play music, it's like they know how to perform because they're performers. So it's like they know how to look like a rocker, where it's like you see fucking Johnny Depp with his scarf and his fucking guitar down.
To his knees.
Slung down by his loins.
And his neckerchief.
Like,
here's another thing. Do you guys ever get just a little bit annoyed when somebody...
Oh, wait, there's more? Okay.
When somebody who's already famous for one thing wants to cross over, it somehow bothers me, and I'll tell you why. Because once you're famous, once you're a very known person in any capacity,
stick to it.
You stick to it, but you have the ability to write your own ticket in other avenues just because you're already famous.
Yeah.
For instance, if Russell Crowe walked in here and said, "Hey, I want to go up on stage," that was Lemmy from Motorhead.
That was a little Lemmy with a little Ozzy thrown in.
That was Lemmy from Motorhead. I'm sorry. I didn't even want a fucking name. So they would say absolutely. Yeah. And so that's the thing, is they get in their head like, oh, it's because they think I could be a really good comic. Not really.
No.
But you're already famous. And I hate when people abuse that to go, I'm going to go play rock star today.
Well,
I think that'd be neat. Like, you didn't get famous for that because you're not good at that.
I'm particularly sensitive to comedy with that. I think probably all of us are, because I feel like so many people get famous doing something else. I feel like they think comedy is easy.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to go up stage and tell jokes.
Yeah, all these people aren't famous. I've been famous
for 20
years.
And they get a shortcut because they're famous. They have fans who show up.
Let me just fall back on stand-up.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you. That's so patronizing.
Hold on. Do you have enough time for all the touring and the money that might come from it?
Right. Yeah, it's that really pisses me off.
But, dude, another example. I remember this like a long time ago because I'm the old one here. In the Olympics, Gina Davis wanted to try out for archery.
She was an Olympic hopeful.
Right. And it pissed me off when I found out she was trying, because I'm like, yeah, you have the fucking money to be able to devote all your time to this.
Yeah.
When all these other people, they have to work to support themselves. They have to squeeze it in. They have to fucking get up early and stay up late.
They had to find a sponsor who eventually kills them in the mansion.
And you can just say, oh, I want to train for 12 hours a day, hire the best trainers in the world, and become awesome at it. Fuck you.
No, that's fine, though, because she's still becoming the best. That's still like a benchmark. Are you the best at it? Are you not? What would bother me is what you're talking about, where somebody who's a really famous actor is like, well, I'm just going to go up and pretend to be a stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
I'll just go up there and say whatever I can, and because I'm famous, it'll end up working out.
Right, but in that particular case, she's getting to be the best, sure, but because she has the money to shortcut it.
So does the rich kid who grew up, with archery
lessons.
Fuck that kid
too.
Well, with regard to, I think there's two things. Number one, anybody can be an archer if they have enough money.
Whoa.
I know, this is a controversial opinion, guys. But no, I think
my actors suck is nothing compared to this.
Archery is not like a talent. It's
yes,
like
of course
thing.
It is.
Fuck, Jesus.
Why are you picking the one? Like, nobody's going to act me to death, but you're picking something where if you piss the people off, they'll fucking shoot you with an arrow.
That's
from
a good
distance.
Point. Yeah. from a relative distance. I could probably see him coming. Yeah. If I'm indoors.
They have to get all set up, too. They have to put a little sleeve on.
Yeah, they're real slow. They also have a falcon that's, like, coming.
Retrieves their arrows.
Right.
Those are expensive. Bring it back.
I mean, there are certain trades or crafts that if you just have enough money, you can get really good at it, right? Like archery, for example.
Yeah.
Like you
that's,
can,
that's still hand-eye
so
coordination.
So it's like if you have a bunch of money, someone can train you to shoot a fucking bow and arrow. Like, I don't think it's like, ooh,
no,
I agree. God's given you this Robin Hood-like talent. Like you can you can learn something really well if you just like curling. If you spend enough time curling, you're going to be real good at curling. And you could be a fucking idiot with Down syndrome.
He just offended like our three Canadian listeners. Like, curling is fucking hard.
So many people.
Well, you know what else is funny is when you look at these juxtapositions, it's how good the person was originally. Like, you brought up Gina Davis. Is Gina Davis the best actress around and then she goes to try something else?
I don't know.
Like,
you ever seen Cutthroat Island?
Is she the top one? What
She's
always,
real hot in Beetlejuice.
What always boggles my mind is when they're the top at something and they decide to come into the bottom. Like, the best example I can think of is, if you guys know Roy Jones Jr., for a while was the greatest boxer on earth. Like, comparisons
the
to Tyson.
Great goalie for Manchester.
Yeah, that's right.
He was, no, it was West Ham. I'm sorry.
He was 40-0, won the belt in five different weight classes, couldn't be knocked out, never threw a jab, just knocked people out in a couple seconds. Sure. He was amazing. He goes from being the top and undefeated champion-level boxer to putting out one of the worst rap albums.
That's oh, I want to hear that.
Oh, yes, you do.
You should drop one in right
and
now.
And
Q. Yeah. How did it compare to Macho Man Randy Savage's rap album, which is a thing.
That's real?
That is absolutely real.
Let's put them together. Let's do a mashup.
And hit it. Yeah, I want to hear this. Why is it so easy to get Slim Jims and so hard to get Macho Man Randy Savage's
Well, Ryan,
album?
You're going to have to compete with these lyrics. And you tell me if they go with it. Roy Jones Jr. announced he won't stop boxing till he retires. Which is a great tactic, because if you stop boxing before you retire, you're going to get the shit kicked out of you in the ring.
Well, Macho Man Randy...
Wait, hold on. He won't stop boxing until I retire.
Right.
Right. When you stop boxing, that's when you retire.
Yeah. Well, if you stop boxing before you retired, you'd be screwed
here we
in the
go.
Ring.
The English major breaking on the semantics of it.
Just standing.
Also...
No, I'm taking a stand. I will not stop till I retire.
As an English major, you probably do that constantly. But the things probably drive you insane all the time, like artificial sweetener. It's like, no, it's literally sweetening my drink. It's not artificially sweetening my drink. It's artificial sugar.
Oh, like grammar shit?
Yeah. Is that ever like...
Yeah.
Are you when perfect pitch people are when they hear like an off note? Like,
I love this because Shores is so keyed up about this. And Curtis is like, yeah, it kind of bugs me.
No. It doesn't. Well, because I'm trying
to... Chris Fields.
No, I'm trying to think of like examples, but the problem is the examples are so numerous that I have to wipe them out of my brain. Like, I mean, I'm one of those people who like texting really bothers me. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously everybody texts, but I use semicolons text messages because I'm like, that wasn't a complete sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a subordinate clause I used right there, so I need a comma, and then I have a semicolon because that's an additional thought that's related to that original sentence but is independent of that original subordinate clause, but it's a fucking goddamn text message.
Yeah.
Why am I losing my mind about this shit?
Yeah.
And also, I'm doing it while driving, so it's like extra complicated, and people are like, why are you sending me these complicated text messages?
And then you get into complex complex English discussions via text message. Like, that's not technically what beg the question means. Let me tell you about it.
I'm like, you know, Derrida would say that. No, it does bother me.
What I'm driven insane by is autocorrect when I don't catch it until after I've sent the text.
That's the worst.
I'll just go through and they'll get like eight more texts with my corrections.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, what I meant here is...
Okay.
Footnotes.
I have one example.
Citations.
I don't sext, but sometimes it comes up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not
so
like,
to speak.
Right. Sometimes it comes up, you know, like as an addendum to whatever random conversation you're having.
Yeah.
And like somebody said... somebody, a human female I was sexing with, and like she said something hot or erotic or whatever, and like a lot of times you don't know how to respond, so I just put like like MMM and it autocorrected to mom.
I like it when
I was
did
just
you
like
catch
oh
that
shit
before or after you sent it.
Oh, it was after.
Nice.
Yeah,
and
no,
that's
this was
amazing.
This was full on text. Just put mom, and I was just like, oh. Boner killer.
I like it when autocorrect gives up some of your tendencies. Like it gives you up to other people. Like when you're like, oh, hey, we'll just meet this summer or something, and we'll just meet this sodomy. And you're like, oh, I do say that a lot.
I do say that a lot.
Dude, I don't know why Droid phones is. I've had a couple phones where it autocorrects don't to D-I-N-T.
Or no, or D-O space T.
No, mine always D-I-N-T. I'm like, that's not even a word.
And have I mentioned that my autocorrect changes the word something to so etching? In what world is the phrase so etching used more than the word something?
Well, and also like, I mean, going back to me being an English literary person, I will often make adjectives into adverbs. Like, mm-hmm. I will adverbially talk about something. And so, like, I will
You've lost all of us.
I know. I will say, like, that is so... that's so hypochondrically silly. Yeah. Hypochondrically is not a word.
Right.
Hypochondriac is a word. Right. Yeah, but it is now. But then my iPhone will
correct
English
me.
That's
why English is the best language.
Like,
we can make up words.
Just let me fucking make up a word.
Yeah, let me do this for
and
a
you
second.
Can do that in English. It's amazing.
Don't change it to something that literally is so removed from anything any human has ever said. So etching.
Yeah.
It's like the...
I don't think that's ever been said.
Dude, what
Search in the history of English language.
Yeah.
In any printed literary works ever, has anyone ever put so etching?
Never.
Those two words combined.
Dude, what bugs me the most is when people take a word.
No.
When people take a word and use it wrong so much that they change it in the dictionary.
Oh.
Well, like the dumbing down of our language. The one that I always drives me nuts is when people say, oh, I'm nauseous. I'm like, nauseous actually means you're making other people sick. You mean nauseated.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I didn't even know that.
I did not
Is
know that.
That
I didn't either.
Nauseous?
Yeah. Oh, I'm nauseous.
I feel nauseous.
Nauseous means you're making someone else nauseated.
Does it?
Yeah.
Wow. Mind blown, life change.
Right?
That is so etching in my brain.
That's how we do it on Science Faction, the podcast.
You actually just described your and my life. I'm making other people sick.
Yeah, I am nauseous. You're right.
I am nauseous. I'm a nauseous person.
Speaking of letting things drive you up the wall, I was upset about something recently. It doesn't matter what. But someone gave me my favorite non-advice that I can't stand. Okay. They said that I should just get over it, man. Is there any advice more useless than you should get over it?
Yeah, that's not advice.
Hi, homeless person. Get a fucking home.
Yeah. Stop using.
Actually, I think they did that in Arizona and it worked. So that might not be.
The thing with that is you would do as much good staying silent. Actually, you do better because you wouldn't piss me off with that fucking. You really need to get over it. And if anyone that's listening has ever given me that advice, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just. I am talking.
Yes, except you know who you are.
But honestly, like I've heard this. Non-advice used from everything from people that have been hurt from a relationship ending to chemical addiction to everything. Yeah. First of all, I've heard that so much. Like, you really need to stop drinking. Like, okay. So you're combating a problem that sometimes, rehabilitation specialists and whole rooms of people crying and reading letters can't combat, but your casual advice of you really need to get over this whole drinking thing.
Yeah.
That's just gonna, or sometimes it's, for instance, a buddy of mine, he was devastated because his wife took off on him and someone told him, dude, because he was like not leaving his apartment. He's like, dude, you really need to get over this shit. I'm like, oh, wow.
I mean, get over it and like chin up or like, shit like that.
Well,
like,
people try and give the tough love, get over it. Dude, you need to get over it.
Oh, you mean, specifically like, dude, stop being such a pussy. Yeah. Is basically what it is. And it's like, no,
you don't get to choose what bothers you. You can choose how you handle it, but you don't get to choose what internally causes you any strife. You don't get to flip a switch and say, okay, that doesn't bother me now because I've decided. Yeah. Because then nothing would bother me.
And it's so demeaning when people tell you glibly.
It's just dismissive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me play devil's advocate real quick.
No.
And just nope. Let me play angel's advocate.
Right.
Accepted. To those people's credit who say things like that, I don't think they mean it in like a mean way.
No, I don't.
No, they're actually throwing rocks at Ryan Shores when they say it.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, it's a little dried piece of elbow macaroni. I don't know where they get them.
Yeah, it's so weird. I think it's that people don't want or can't like empathize.
Sure.
Because it takes a lot of emotional weight and like thought where it's like, if you have an X problem, let's say whatever your problem is,
sure.
It takes a lot of effort for people to relate And people don't like to do that, so they just they fall back and just go, dude, just get over it. And,
or they don't know how to help you.
Which is just a lazy way of saying, I don't want to take the time to emotionally connect with
you. I think there is some of that, but I more specifically is the people that do think they're helping with that. You know?
Oh, like, yeah. Well, fuck them.
I'm going to really snap him out of this, dude. All right? You need to get over it. Like,
hold on, I'm going to come out. I'm Robert, one of those guys. Yeah. That's absolutely me. That is my advice.
It's so not helpful.
Useless platitude.
It's not though, it is not
useless platitude. I guess Johnny Depp's new band name, by the way.
I guess it just depends, like, how you were raised, because there is something to that of like, hey man, just buck the fuck up. Just do it, and then you do, and you're like, yeah, you know what? I actually was just getting into my own head and making this worse.
That will have to happen on its own. It can't happen with the flip of a switch.
Yes. You're totally right. But also, I think there's a context. Like, if let's say if I'm your brother and I say and I punch you in the face and go, sure, fucking get over it, dude. Yeah. There's context behind that, sure, and you could be like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Like, you're my brother.
But you still can't flip off the emotions you're feeling about.
No, you can't. But, like, sometimes you're allowed to say, fucking stop being such a pussy.
Sure.
Yeah, like, I can't say it to you, or I can't say it to you, because, like, but if I grew up with you, right, and I punch you in the face or punch you in the shoulder and go, stop being such a bitch.
This is so hostile today. You know what I mean? I don't know why we have.
Yeah. It's because of that parade.
Well, you're also taking a situation where you're causing the injury. I'm saying, let's say Ryan comes up to me and he's like, man.
No, I'm not saying punch me in the face.
I've been really beating myself up because, you know, I thought I got my girlfriend a really good present for her birthday, but she didn't like it.
She doesn't want a threesome.
Yeah, and she's... So I've just been down on myself, and if the situation is that you are making it worse in your head, I think it does help to have somebody be like, hey man, just knock it the fuck off.
Yeah,
calm down, because you're making it worse.
It depends on the situation.
Well, you know,
when
it's a minor problem like that, you know, that I guess would be good. But when something like, let me give you an example, is my favorite advice that I ever got. I found out a woman that I had been living with had been with another dude constantly. Like, not even just a slip up. This is like she had a separate relationship going on. And the advice that I had a lot of people like, dude, you need to get over it. Like, my favorite advice was, a friend of mine said, this is going to hurt until it doesn't anymore. And it's like,
that's really good. That's not advice. That's just
not advice,
a fact.
But it does put things more in perspective. When someone says you need to get over it, it makes you feel like, oh shit, I'm unable to do what they're telling me to do. I guess it's going to be forever. But when someone says this is going to hurt until it doesn't anymore, you realize, all right, I got a set time here that I'm going to feel shitty, and that's fine. Right. Get over it will happen, but it's going to be on its own terms. I'm going to wake up one day and be like, this doesn't hurt anymore.
Right.
It's been 4 months, but it doesn't hurt anymore finally.
Also, Chris, that's what you say when you punch someone in the face.
Well, no, I
this is going to hurt until it doesn't.
No, I didn't mean – when I said punch you in the face, I meant
good
like –
good badass
I meant
line.
Like –
I'm going to start using
when
that.
Somebody's hurting, you shove them and go, stop it. Stop being – whatever.
Oh, look how Chris Curtis was raised. A little bit of his childhood coming out here.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I kind of got the theory of like, look what happens when a kid gets hurt, right? If a kid is going down the stairs and they bump their knee or something like that, right?
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
There's two ways you can handle it. There is the run up and be like, oh my God, what's wrong? In which case they will burst into tears.
They get more sad.
Right.
Yes.
Or
You're fine.
Exactly.
Or ignore it. Just ignore it.
Exactly. If you get them in their head to think, oh, it's not that bad, or this adult thinks it's not that bad, this other person thinks it's not that bad, it literally becomes not that bad for them. Because
that's a really great point. Yeah, exactly. Like, I've seen parents, like, when a kid falls, and it's like, obviously, after I'm done chuckling wildly.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
once
kids
I finish
falling,
my whiskey.
Is there anything more funny than kids falling?
No. Hits on this pipe.
No, and you're doing a good thing by doing it because kids are coddled too much today, so we didn't need to be laughed
at. So when kids fall, and then they look up and they look back.
Yes. Yes.
They know they're fine, and they look to their mom and or dad or both.
Don't
dads.
Be presumptive here.
Or both moms, guys. I'm an equal opportunity conversationalist. And then they look back, and if the mom is upset, then they get upset.
Yeah.
So it's like that thing where you do sometimes you if it's a minor
mirror
problem,
your
you do need to say like if the parent just goes, fuck off, or like get up.
Yeah.
Like, you're fine. Like, and then the kid will do that. I mean, I think that does work as an adult if it's a small problem, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of, if you have a deep serious problem, like a substance abuse issue. Yeah. And it's like, no, I mean, I have substance abuse issues, obviously, as we all
that's
know.
That's why you're here.
This is
an intervention.
No, I mean,
Chris, we all want to tell you why we love you.
Get your letters out.
Oh, shit. I'm out of here. Fuck you guys. No, like,
we're going to stop paying your rent.
No, like, my dad has been like, he's like, why don't you just have two drinks and then just stop? And I was like,
why would I do that?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah,
but it doesn't fucking work that way. And it's, and like, you can't intellectualize it and you can't, like, explain it. Like, or if you have, like, serious depression issues where it's like, I'm sad, like, all the time, you know, which I do suffer with. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that makes me feel worse.
Yes,
actually.
Absolutely.
But,
you know?
But honestly, now everybody think about this. If you could go back to the worst breakup of your life, like picture the worst breakup in your head where you just got shit on.
Are you dumping me right now?
I think I was hiding in a bathroom while a hired actress pretended to be a psychic.
If you remember that wasn't a breakup, I got her back.
That's true. All right, go ahead.
If you think of the worst breakup of your life, and then you think of the advice you would give to yourself going back to it. In the end, if you had a minute to talk to yourself, it would probably be like, this isn't
get
that big
it.
A deal.
Yeah.
Get the fuck over it. And it would be the best advice you
go
would have.
Go grab a gallon of gasoline and some matches.
That's a really good point, except that also involves time travel and dual cells.
So if somebody else can give you that advice – now, I get it what you're saying. Like if you're saying something serious, like you said, substance abuse problem, something like my girlfriend's pregnant, get over it doesn't work out, right? But
she can get over it. You just push them down. It's real easy. Push them down a flight of stairs.
But especially when it comes to breakups, I think that's actually can be really good advice. That old football coach advice of like rub some dirt in it, get the fuck back out on the field.
Rub some dirt on your ex's face, walk away.
Yeah,
James Dean the metaphors. James Dean the shit out of that bitch and walk away.
Yeah, dude, I do agree though, because I think, yeah, sometimes it's helpful for the most part. Sure, I get what you're saying, where it's like it's people who don't have any idea what other way to help you.
Yeah.
So they just fall back
out
on
of
that.
Things.
They're well, like, I don't know how to help you, so figure out how to help yourself.
Because I've done it too, where I've just been like, man, you have a problem that I can't fucking relate to at all. And I've just been like, just get over it. Like, I don't do it in a dickish way.
Right. And
but,
I think a
but
lot
the,
of
the
times
people who
it's
do it in
way.
But the people who do it, well, you have awful friends then.
Yeah. Here we are.
I don't have any friends. There's just people
like,
who tell me to
like
get over
saying,
it.
Telling someone to get over it, that's like so similar to the other piece of shitty, it's not even really advice that I hate, is like, everything happens for a reason.
That's the worst.
You know why I know that's the worst? Because nobody ever says that when something good happens. Like, hey, I just won the lottery. Bro, everything happens for a reason.
Hey, bro.
It's like
that shit
people
was.
Only say that when something bad happens, and that's because the
I like
reason
to tell
is
those people 85% of those people fucking end up broke.
Yeah. But like people say everything happens for a reason, and the reason is fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, in a way, they're right. Everything happened for a reason. The reason your daughter died is because somebody got wasted and decided to drive, but that's the reason. There's no bigger reason.
Hey, stop talking about my life, dude.
You know, I'm glad you said that because you mentioned the people that say that specifically talk about drinking and they have their own ideals about it. Now everyone here is a binge drinker at this table, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Myself included. And so it's so interesting to hear people that don't have our proclivity towards alcohol give advice about it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Your proclivity actually means I'm just kidding.
You know, like you said, I've gotten that advice too. Why don't you just have two drinks and stop? Okay.
What a brilliant – I never fucking thought of that.
But they don't realize that on our side, we're equally as confused by them. Like sometimes when someone's like – when I'm like, beer, like I don't drink. I'm just like – what
no,
do
I don't
do?
Like how it makes me feel.
Are
I'm
you
like
on medicine?
Are you fucking kidding me? It's the only way I can feel.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So it's the only way I can feel because it makes me not feel.
I'm just sitting there like, let me get this right. So when you watch TV, you just watch TV.
Right.
It's not enhanced in any way. You just watch it stone sober. You don't get an itch and a tingle.
Right.
You need to have euphoria pumped into you. Ugh, okay.
No. Yeah.
Sounds boring.
I'm actually upset when people say things like, no, like I had like a glass of wine like last week and like I just felt kind of fuzzy. And I was like, that's the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
And I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
No, I can see
you're their, actually a monster for not liking it.
I can see their point though, because I don't like smoking weed at all. It makes me very paranoid and I hate every second of weed. Mm. So I understand they may have a different reaction to alcohol than I have. I get that part. But when people
So get over it.
Yeah.
You have a different reaction? Fucking get over
it. You're a fucking puss, dude. Yeah. Chill.
But when people I know that like the effects of alcohol, when they're able to be choosy about it, that's weird to me. For instance, I had people over to my house last weekend, and I built a bar in my house.
You what?
Huh?
What's you that? Had people over your house last weekend?
Oh, you mean friends?
Yeah.
Huh. Bobby, what did you do last weekend?
I was trying to give him advice on how to get the fuck over it.
So I had a couple friends over, and I offered them drinks from my bar, and they said, no, we drank last night. I'm like,
yeah.
And they're like, we drank a lot, and we were hungover today. I'm like, I'm just seeing more reasons to start drinking immediately, yeah. Because when I wake up hungover, I am anxious and sweating and nauseated until I am
you
able,
mean nauseous.
I'm able to soak those nerves back in my calming elixir.
No, absolutely.
So yeah. So absolutely. When people say, no, I drank last night, and now I'm a little – I'm like, yeah, that's a – that's a good reason.
Yeah, literally
go ahead.
Last night at the bar, there was a comic sitting there who's here every night. And he's hanging out. I'm like, you want something to drink? He's like, nah, I'm really hungover. What's the best way to cure a hangover? I'm like, drink some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's...
Yeah, I can give you the science of it. Bobby, will you give us the science of it?
Well,
save it for your other podcast.
Yeah.
Well, oh, welcome to Science Corner.
You mean www.thesciencefaction.com?
No, the other one.
Okay. Thanks. Chris, you were actually... Were you now conceived in a bar? I believe I've heard this story before.
Is that true?
My name was conceived of in a bar. My parent... No, I was not conceived in the Ken
Club. Someone just slurred, Chris!
No.
Listen, if you've been to the Ken Club, it's not unusual for somebody to fuck
the sound my dad made when he came in my mom's hairy 1985 vagina. No. It was my dad
Thanks
was.
For that picture.
I was. I know. Gross. Well, you don't know what she looks like, so it's okay.
I'm picturing it. No, I'm filling in the gaps for myself.
Hey, that's what he did.
Yeah, that's
he
exactly
filled
right.
in the gaps.
Boom.
No, I was born in Kensington, and my original name, my dad was drinking at the Kensington Club, which is San Diego's second oldest bar, maybe third oldest.
I don't know
why I looked at you. I just assumed you knew. You're 100 years old, right, Ryan? The Ken Club has been there for so long because that's where the trolley used to go.
Right.
Those were all brothels. All those apartments on Adams, those were all brothels. Like back
I miss
in like the
90s.
Yeah, the good old days when like you would take the trolley home from work and you wore a suit and you had a hat with a feather in
the brothel.
And then you went and fucked a Filipino chick and then you went home to your wife, like how everything's supposed to be. Anyway,
and
you had four whiskey and sodas at the Ken Club. Anyway, no, my dad, my name was going to be Fletcher Kensington Curtis.
Wow.
I am bringing you up on stage, is that next time?
Which, and then they changed it like a bunch of dicks to Christopher. And as a kid, they told me, they were like, you know, you were going to be named Fletcher Kensington Curtis.
That's such a cool fucking name.
Yes. And I could have been a novelist and my name would have been F. Kensington Curtis.
Oh, that's awesome.
How fucking good, right? And instead they changed it to when I was 20 and drunk, I almost changed my name to Shark Attack Curtis. But
sure.
F. Kensington. No, I wasn't conceived in a bar, but anyway, long story short, yes, that's where.
Speaking of that not specifically that neighborhood, but just a neighboring neighborhood, you live in North Park, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. And I believe you said, I think you mentioned something about a parade earlier.
Yes. He was having a
parade for himself to celebrate his
I was parading
alcoholism.
Down the street.
You mentioned that you were pissed off by a parade that's been happening in your
neighborhood. No, I was very annoyed, and I was almost late because of it.
You hate the gays, huh?
Well, no, this is such a – no, okay. I live in a very busy neighborhood in North Park. I live right in the middle of North Park, like right by the sign.
Okay.
They were having a parade. I don't even know what the parade was. And the streets were closed off on University – on Kansas and on Ohio and on Oregon and on Lincoln and all of the streets in the most busy neighborhood in
literally
San Diego.
You're just naming states
right
now.
I know, yeah.
To our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the names of streets, which I believe are the names of states as well. I don't know. We might have to fact check this. But if you're going to have a parade, have a fucking parade. But don't do it in the busiest neighborhood in one of the most popular cities on Earth.
First
right?
of all, I fucking hate parades, Chris, so I'm on board.
Chris feels about parades the way most people feel about prisons. Go ahead and build one, just not in my neighborhood.
Yeah, in my backyard.
No, I'm pro-parade.
Your NIMBY
parade. just do it in a street where people don't need to live. I'm like, I live here. And I was yelling.
He literally lives in the streets. He's got a sleeping bag on the curb. He uses an old can for a pillow.
When I say I live in North Park, I mean I live on the sign. I live on top of it. Yeah, I'm like Snoopy.
I like the idea of having a parade where no one lives. Like, this year's Chernobyl parade will be fantastic.
No, but parade supporters will come out. They provide the people.
Hey, you that's how Burning Man started.
Glen Helen pavilions.
And other problems in white person news.
Oh, man, I'm going to the DeVore parade.
Yeah. No, there are people who lost their families from fucking Syria last month, and I'm complaining about parades.
There was a parade that happened like twice a year in my old neighborhood, and I could never figure it out what it was. I'd go out, it'd just be a random thing. It's like, it's not for Marines, it's not for Christmas, it's not for the gays. It would just be a random thing. It'd be like a Marine, like a war veteran, then like Elmo, and right. Then like a horse.
And then like a high school cheerleader. Yeah, I'd be like, team, and it's like, what the?
But anyway, yeah, by the time like, you know, someone dressed in a triangle suit walks by me, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. It just made me so mad that they were blocking off my street because I couldn't even get to the supermarket.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I'm like, you don't even have a theme and you're fucking up my Saturday. Yeah.
At
really?
At least let me know what the parade's about.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. There was a police officer, and I was like, what is this? And they were like, it's like a fucking parade. And I was like, is that the reason why I couldn't park on my street from 5 a.m. until 4 p.m. on a Saturday morning, too? What am I going to do, get up at 4 a.m. and move my fucking car?
I always like the RSVPs, the Retired Service
Volunteer Patrol.
Senior
Volunteer Patrol.
These are people that are so addicted to telling people what to do.
They couldn't get a spot on the HOA.
No.
So say, hey, let me be a cop.
Oh, my God. These guys, they're all, I assume, ex-police officers, but they're like 80 years old.
I like to think they're not. They just want to be. And they don't really.
Yeah, and they love to tell people what to do. And that's who, like, blocks off these streets. I get so infuriated because a cop will be like, hey, man, you can't, you know. But these 80-year-old fucking narcissists love to be like, yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Halt.
Yeah.
Oh, they've read the playbook, too, and they love reciting it.
Yeah,
sir, I need you to stop what you're doing right now, okay?
Because I'm about to ruin damage in the style.
And his 79-year-old wife is always in the riding shotgun doing a crossword puzzle. But he is just fucking loving it. Like, did you not see the sign? Did you not see all these signs? Like, now I'm being condescended to by a guy in a little vest working for free.
Yep.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. I love telling those people to go fuck themselves.
I like that we've essentially we've gotten Walmart greeters for police.
Yeah.
you're not in the store yet, but we'll let you know.
The worst part about those people is that they have like the cop cars that are not cop cars, but they look like cop cars. So like I'll be driving and I see in my rearview mirror, I'm like, is that a fucking cop? Or is that just like one of those like
rent-a-cop things?
Like 1980s fucking old man.
Yeah.
Who really doesn't even know how to drive.
Then, I get furious and I'm like, what if I defied their authority in air quotes? What would happen? Do they just call the real police?
They do. And I had a buddy who this happened when we were in like junior high or something. He got busted smoking pot at the park by the Senior Volunteer Patrol, and he just did what we all did and just ran. You just run
away.
Just
run away.
It's the great weakness of old people. They have all the time and none of the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you could probably steal their car and drive away.
Yeah. Don't make me mad.
I hate that they chose.
You have to stop halfway to kick out the old lady with the crossword puzzle, but you know, then you keep going.
I hate that they chose RSVP as the acronym, because that's like a fun thing.
I didn't know that that's what they
retired
were
called. Senior Volunteer Patrol. Yeah. It's in big letters on the side.
Yeah, right.
Dude, funny cop moment for me last night. Two things that I hate.
Night.
Yeah. Driving home from work, we have to go through downtown, and there's a two-block area that is just literally the worst.
Sure.
Just drunk people. Yep.
Especially on weekends.
Just not following the signals, just blocking the streets.
It looks like Mardi Gras all the time for people that don't live in San Diego downtown.
Except no boobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no boobs.
And the other thing I hate, bicycle cops. Because, fucking – you have no respect.
Right. Your bicycle. Yeah.
But last night, I'm sitting here at a light. The light changes green, and this car in front of me doesn't move. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, bro, this isn't a fucking parking spot. Move that shit. And a gaggle of drunk people start walking towards the car. I'm like, no one's even in the fucking car.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting even more mad because I'm stuck behind these idiots. As they get in the car, my anger is reaching like peak level when all of a sudden a bicycle cop rolls up. and bust some. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Yeah. A bicycle cop.
The one time a bicycle cop has done something out, right.
Yeah, fucking loved it.
He took
it.
A
it
break
was the
from
best.
Protecting you from the maniacs that stick gum under park benches.
He fucking arrested them all. Okay. I slept like a baby. It was the best night of my life.
You know what's funny is if you think about the layers of cops, cop in a car, right? That's scary. He's going to get you. He's going to come arrest you. Cop walking the beat is actually respected, too. He's going around saying hi to everybody. He's the one who's more likely to get a criminal at any given time because he's there. Yeah. Irish dude twirling a baton. Somehow the in-between where you put the cop on the bike downgrades him. Somehow foot cop is an upgrade from bike cop.
Yeah, that's weird.
The styrofoam helmet that really just challenges his authority in my eyes. You know what's even funnier? Is I'm more afraid of cops in SUVs than regular cop cars. I feel like they're more badass.
Oh, yeah, they're scarier.
They can throw bodies in the back.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Let me go back real quick to the RSVP cops.
Okay.
I hate them as well. But these guys, their wives are dead.
They're
widowers. Oh, no. Think of
more likely.
Think of the retired service veteran volunteer patrol or whatever.
That doesn't have his partner with them.
Yeah. Right. And there was a moment where he was sitting at his tiny one bedroom house,
his suicide apartment,
and his and he eventually took his wedding ring off slowly, like after a decade of his wife being dead, and then he was like, you know, I need to give back.
More
that's
than
all.
Likely, okay. I think it's the other way we describe.
That said,
I was trying to play devil's advocate. It's not working at all.
Speaking of which, and give me some room on this one. Have you ever just seen a stranger, whether you're just eating lunch in the same place as them or whatever it is, and you get depressed because you just imagine their whole backstory, and you just make it super depressing for some reason. Yeah. Like, I was doing that the other day. I was sitting next to this guy eating lunch, just middle-aged dude eating a sandwich he packed for himself, and I was just like, look at this morose motherfucker right here. God, he probably fucking worked here for 20 years, never got a promotion. Oh, dude, he probably lives in a fucking one-bedroom apartment on the bad side of the 805 and fucking goes home every night and fucking watches reruns of Becker while he eats, like, microwavable macaroni and cheese for dinner. He probably has a pet bird that's going to die soon. Oh, fuck, he's going to kill himself.
And no, the bird's already dead.
Yeah, it's been gone
for
a while.
Bro, next time you can just say hi to me. It's fine.
And I start getting bummed out. Now I'm like super bummed. These are not real facts that I'm reviewing, but I'm letting them affect me.
This is like a Rorschach test, I think. Like what you imagine other people's lives to be.
Is what you think your real life is. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at him fucking eating pimento loaf. Who eats pimento loaf? No, I do that same thing.
Yeah, you
do? No, I do it too, and I think there's a weird thing where it's like I do derisively look at people, and I'm like, look at this miserable fuck. Like,
yeah.
What a fucking But then I also go like, I feel really bad. That person must be really sad. You know what I mean? Like, I sympathize.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, like you're kind of almost making fun of them, but then you're like, oh shit.
No, there's nothing making fun of them. I really just evaluated.
Chris just adds that step in.
Yeah, no, I was just to be a dick.
Is that just me?
I was just sitting there feeling bad for him over facts I'm making up in my own head.
Just making up.
Yeah, I'm completely making all this up just because I saw him eating lunch alone and I just imagined all these things about him, and that's what made me feel bummed out, like this poor motherfucker.
Well, it's kind of like on like do you know like on Parks and Recreation where like the guy Jerry that they always make fun of?
Yeah.
It turns out that like the twist is that he has like a beautiful wife and a giant
great
dick.
House, yeah.
Yeah, and like a beautiful daughter, and he just has like the happiest life ever.
Maybe
but, like,
that guy was looking at me going, look at this motherfucker.
Oh no, he absolutely was. He absolutely was.
Why don't you just start giving more positive backstories?
Were you guys face
people?
To face too? When you're like you were like 3 inches apart.
I got nose to nose with him and started like looking at his face like Larry David when he's trying to find out if you're lying.
Yeah,
you're like,
and I was making out with this gross man,
and
he was
saying the commentary out loud too. Like, to the guy's face.
Look how disgusting this man is.
Sir, I can hear you.
The reveal was
literally right in front of
you. No, Chris, the reveal was a mirror.
This idiot has no idea I'm about to assault him.
Yeah. And after I was done shaving, then I realized it was just me.
Speaking of other morose motherfuckers, Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at C. Bradley Curtis, and you can find my new NPR parody podcast, Public Radio, the podcast, which is impossible to search for on iTunes, I assume. Because when you search Public Radio Podcast on the podcast site, turns out There's a million of them. But you can just search Chris Curtis on iTunes.
So the focus group really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, and focus group being me.
All right. And any shows coming up? Anything to plug?
Yeah, I'll be here at the Madhouse on Monday, and I'll be at the American Comedy Company on Sunday the 7th. Is that tomorrow?
Well, today is Saturday the 5th, so yes and no.
You may have to recheck those bookings.
But also, this will be out on Monday.
Yeah, it's,
so.
Sunday, it's Sunday the 6th. Okay, so never
yesterday,
mind.
Yesterday, basically. Yeah.
So when if you're listening to this, that was yesterday.
And he killed
it. Hit him up on Twitter and ask him how it went.
Or I'll be at the Comedy Store on Sunday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays forever into the future.
You can actually send questions to any of us on Twitter at Sharkadile.
That's right. Or at RyanShores138. Chris, thanks so much for coming on, man. You've been a great guest. Please come back. All right. This is Ryan Shores for Dave Callens, Chris Curtis, and Robert Timothy saying we'll see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
That was the sound my dad made when he came
Chris.
In my mom's hairy 1985 vagina.
Oh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
Hey, you know, you really look like John Wayne Gacy.